Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Black History Month. Now, I know what you're thinking. Black History Month is the one space in the calendar where we can at least know that truths about black contributors to American history and progress will be shared and promoted. Correct, but the problems with Black History Month have grown to outweigh any remaining benefits. First, it's insulting to treat black history as something that can be relegated to a single month rather than taught year-round. Second, all too often, white corporations have become so embracing of the superficial symbols of the month, like putting kente cloth on announcements, while failing to make the deep structural reforms that true equity would demand. Big corporations publish cringeworthy statements and conduct absurd promotions while doing nothing to address the whiteness of their boardrooms or the inequalities in their operations. But these are not the real problems. The third and primary reason to abandon Black History Month is the fact that it has become too popular with white people in general. And although it might not seem like a bad thing, it is, because people who say so misunderstand that the ongoing project is not to produce harmony with white people, but to continually find ways to make them feel uncomfortable and ashamed so they can be manipulated out of their position of power. Simply put, once the enemy has accepted your demands, you must immediately create new, more impossible demands so that they are kept continuously off balance and on defense as they retreat into obscurity. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who this week showed that he is a bully and a blowhard and a ruthless dictator of the most wicked type when he violently and profanely screamed at a defenseless group of children for wearing face masks at his press conference.
You do not have to wear those masks. I mean, please take them off. Honestly, it's not doing anything, and we got to stop with this COVID theater. So if you want to wear it, fine, but this is ridiculous.
Does he know no shame? Yes, despite all his statements of belief in freedom and personal choice to the contrary, the anti-science cult leader of the evil death kill COVID land of Florida showed here that he would stop at nothing to bully and shame these precious little ones into doing what we all know is unsafe for any person, taking off a mask when within 100 feet of them. Now, it's true that this interaction only lasted 8 seconds. But I ask you, how many seconds of discomfort should a high school student have to experience? I say zero. In a world of love and support, no teenager should ever have to feel challenged or confronted in any way at all. After all, protecting them is the best way to prepare them for the real world. And yes, some have said they laughed and that he actually allowed them the freedom to do what they wanted, but this misunderstands the very first rule of wokeness. Offense is not determined by the offender, nor by the offendee. Offense is determined by the unrelated stranger who has no actual connection to the events but is sensitive enough to feel the pain on behalf of the victim, even if that victim doesn't feel the pain for him, her, they, self. For daring to make so many strangers and media people call him a bully, Governor DeSantis must be removed. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to take a moment to celebrate the outstanding work being done by President Joe Biden on raising the cost of gasoline. In just the first year of his administration, our dear leader has done more to eliminate and discourage the use of greenhouse gas-emitting hydrocarbons than anyone before him, and if this trend continues, we're going to be forced to give him the greatest award our denomination can bestow, the Golden Kelp. Since the very first days when he laid waste to the American energy sector by stopping drilling and ending construction on pipelines, to the current inflation and wartime skyrocketing price of gasoline, this president has fully internalized the single most important goal of thwarting global climate change. Make people stop driving by making gas cost too much. Yes, although some leaders before him have said they understood this goal, only our beloved Uncle Joseph has taken the plan seriously enough to see it followed so consistently. As we approach $4 a gallon, we have true confidence in him that we can get to the necessary $5 or $6 or $7 a gallon that will bring true change to this gas-guzzling wasteland. Until Americans realize that they must be colder in the winter and warmer in the summer and drive less and bicycle more, They will continue careening toward a future where we will actually be colder in the winter and warmer in the summer. And the land will be under so much water that it won't matter whether you drive or bike at all. Yes, as the price of gasoline and natural gas and electricity careens upward, it is true, the poor will suffer the most. But we wise, compassionate, middle-class folk will just have to endure the emotional trauma of watching the poor suffer in order to save those same poor people from the real poverty of losing the planet itself to climate change. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.